Simple concept that he spoke there about. It couldn't be a fish with a fin unless there was water to swim in. Amen. So we need to remember those things. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
We get to be in church.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to, but we get to.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's a lot of places you could be. You could be all kinds of other places you choose to be. But God has provided a way for us to be here, so we're so thankful for that. We're just happy to be in service to the Lord. We're happy to be here with the people that we love.
You're right.
Amen. We love each other.
Amen.
And we get to spend eternity together.
Amen.
I don't count it a light thing that God has chosen that we would walk this earth together, meet one another. And so, you know, when you really stop and think about it, and you have a desire, you know, we have the phrase, birds of a feather flock together, right? And, you know, people, whatever, they have a desire to fellowship with those of like precious faith or the same thing. And so, you know, there's not, I know there's thousands of believers in the world, but when it really comes right down in our realm and any other people's realm, there's just not that many, right, when it comes to masses of the world. And so when you do have someone that's like precious faith, that you can really sit down and fellowship with around the things of God that he's given to us in this day, it's not a light thing. We really count that. Like Brother Daniel said, I think, in praying maybe or Sunday recently about how, you know, just to cry. Brother Bam talked about us. He said, I've seen times whenever they'd hug one another's neck and cry because it was going to be several days before they get to see each other again. And so may the Lord just move us further and further until that's just the way we are. Amen. And so let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll begin reading verse 21. Amen. I enjoyed song service.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We're going to title this tonight, A True Foundation. A True Foundation. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this time to be together with your children tonight, but most of all, Lord, to be able to look to heaven, look to you, look to your word, Lord, that you might come and dwell in the midst and you'd speak to us, Lord, out of the words of eternal life. We love you, Lord, and we surrender ourselves to you tonight, our voice and our ears and our thinking and our everything about us, we just give to you, Lord. We pray that you'd be with those who are streaming, those who are not able to stream tonight, not able to be here tonight for whatever reason. We ask, God, that you'd go to them and resolve their situations, Lord, whatever it is that they have need of. We pray, God, that you would bring to pass. And may they be able to look at you and know that you have touched their lives tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. True foundation. You know, in this world that we live in a very interesting time when it comes to the history of humanity, because in this world we live in right now, in this hour that we live in, we have access to any and every teaching that there is out there. We have access to it. We have you know, internet, and people can look up anything they want to look up. They can study whatever they want to study because it's right there at your fingertips. And even now with AI, all the stuff that's going on with that, you can go just many levels even greater than that. It's, you know, the place I work with, several months ago, they came out and endorsed us to use AI in our jobs. And so, of course, there's certain ones that they endorse and maybe not others, but we live in an hour where anything that you want to learn, whatever you want to study on, whatever you want to be, feed upon, you can do it, right? And, you know, most people eat what they like, you know? I'm kind of like Malachi. He probably knew I was going to say this. I like fried chicken. So does he. And so most people do, right? But, you know, most people will eat what they like. And so it's the same thing spiritually, or, you know, just you won't read stories that you don't really care for. You'll read something that you like.
Right.
And you'll study things that you that you want to study. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing is, we live in an age where the appetite of people, they can satisfy that appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's a very interesting age, and of course, we know it's the Laodicean age. We as the bride of Christ, we believe that through the message of the hour that God has raised us up out of Laodicea. We're living in a bride age that's paralleling right along while the world's in Laodicea. We're overcoming Laodicea. But Laodicea's rights are justice of the people, rights of the people, where people, whatever they want, let's let them have it. If they want to say they're some other gender to what they were born, let them do it. And pretty much anything that someone wants to do, they can pretty much do it as long as they're supporting the system. They'll let them do it, right? And so that's the hour we. But this is the environment we're in. So everything's accessible. Everybody can be what they want to be. And so God's not going to force someone to feed on His Word. He's not going to force them. And so, you know, that it really, as we say, people will feed on, they'll feed on the things that satisfy the hunger they have inside. And we know that real change in a person's life doesn't come from outside. It comes from within, especially Christianity. It's not an outside thing. No one's going to come and force you to be different. You know, nobody's going to be able to put constraints on you and make you be a different person. If you're going to be a different person, it's going to be because there's a change in heart. Something happens from within. We know that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is typed as a dove. And you realize that Brother Ram talked about it so many times, that a dove doesn't have to clean itself like other birds might have. It has an oil from within, an oil that comes out from within. And it cleanses itself from within. And that's a type of the Christian. If you have an experience with the Lord, and we know we read the Bible, we're supposed to read the Bible, we listen to the message, and we should be, and all that, but If you don't have something down inside you to cleanse you, then you're not going to be cleansed.
Right.
It'll just be some tradition of man or something like that. But if you have that dove nature down inside, you won't be able to eat on and feed on all these other things. There's only a certain diet that you'll be able to eat on and feed upon, spiritually speaking. And like I think I said the other day, if you try to, it'll make you sick. Right? You try to, somebody, maybe the devil tricks you. Somebody convinces you to go and, you know, do something, go somewhere, whatever. And you just maybe you let down your guard or whatever. Next thing you know, you find yourself in a situation you don't want to be there. And because the spirit, the life that's in you is becoming grieved at that.
Right.
And so we know that comes from the inside and inside only. But we can feed on anything there is out there, but there's really only one teaching that we can really rely on as a foundation, and that is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the only thing that we can put our life and count on to keep us is the Word of God. And the Bible refers to the Word, as we just read here in this parable, in what Jesus is saying there. I don't know if you'd call it a parable, but in his teaching there, he refers to the Word of God as a rock being found, a foundation. And he tells us the story there of how that if a person will listen to the Word of God and will do these things that he has taught, then he is like a man who's built his house on a solid foundation, on a rock. And so if he builds his house on a rock, then storms come. How many know storms come? Storms come through life all the time, and the greatest storm you'll ever face in life is the one at the end of your days when it's time for you to leave this world, right? And so at that time, especially at that time, you want to be built on a foundation that you can stand on when that storm comes, and it won't tear your house down. And so he likens it to that, and he says, of course, if a man will hear these teachings and not do them, well, then he's like a man that builds his house on the sand, and these storms of life come, and they just can't stand to it, and especially at the end of their days. But Jesus said, whosoever heareth and doeth them. It takes more than just hearing. It takes more than just coming to church and hearing what Brother Daniel has to say or hearing what I have to say. It takes more than just listening to the tapes. It takes more than just reading the Bible. There is an action that we have to do. If we believe, then our life will show that we believe, right?
Correct.
Works is faith expressed. We're not trying to work our way to heaven, but if you believe God's word, you're going to change the way you live and the things you do, because you know that's the life that you now have accepted and is to live in you. Right. And so you have to do more than just hear it. You got to do it.
Right.
And so if you just hear it, but you don't do it, then your foundation, you're not on that rock yet,
yeah.
Right? And so it takes more than just hearing. So a rock in here in this analogy is a solid foundation. And so you realize that, and I know this, I was privileged, even though I was raised in the mountains with a poor family, and had to build our own houses and stuff like that. I was privileged to be able to see enough and know enough that in order to build a house, you have to have a good foundation. And so I'm in building my house. I knew, and I'll tell you, my foundation is big enough for according to HUD, a three-story brick house. Because I knew, according to their specs, the size of what I did, that's how big it is. And I went overkill because I knew that if I didn't have a good foundation, then it was not going to be a good thing. And so a rock is foundation. I suppose back in Bible days, maybe they didn't have concrete like we do now, you know, and they would make bricks and things like that out of clay and mud and so forth, and which probably isn't the best thing in the world. What would be better is a natural rock that God has provided that's real solid. And so a rock, a foundation, is a good foundation. And we know the scripture tells us, Paul says, that, you know, he comes along, and the foundation is of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And Paul says, I've laid that foundation. In other words, Paul said, God chose me to bring this to the Gentiles. I preach to you Gentiles. I have laid this foundation for you. Now you take heed how you build on that. And so Paul is saying, take heed, because if you build on it, wood, hay, and stubble, and all that, it'll all, you know, be tested. It will be tested. And if it's hay and stubble, it'll be burnt. But if it's good things, you know, gold and silver, well, then it just purifies it. And so he says, take heed how you build on that foundation. But I want to say this, take heed that you are building on that foundation. You got to be on that foundation. And this is why I say so often that, you know, you have people nowadays, well, Paul, he's just that woman hater. If we as Gentiles expect to be saved, we have to believe what Paul taught. Because God, that gospel wasn't to us. And when God got ready for it to come to us, he said, Paul, you're the one. Go take this to the Gentiles so I can take out a people for my name, which would be a wife. Go to those Gentiles. And that's why I've said this so many times. When Brother Branham was past the curtain of time and he said, you know, I want to see Jesus. Well, he can't. He'll come, and when he comes, he'll judge you. And if you're accepted, then your people will be accepted. And he's in that dimension where it was beyond sublime. Couldn't be no lie. Couldn't be no pain, no sorrow. No, in that kind of realm, this conversation was happening in that kind of presence, in that kind of realm. So, well, I want to see Jesus. Well, he has to come to you, and he'll judge you. And if you're accepted, and in one place, Brother Brown said, which you will be, if you're accepted, then your people will be. And he said, well, does Paul have to come? Yes. And Brother Branham said, made this statement in that realm, millions of people there, said, if Paul makes it, I will. Because I've not divvied one bit from what Paul taught. And in that realm, in that place, that statement, that conversation pleased those millions of believers. I believe maybe we were represented there. Maybe we were there in that realm, and this was all there like that. That conversation and hearing our prophet messenger, hearing the one that God sent to us, hearing him say that in that realm, and this being that's talking to him say that he would say, I've not divvied one bit from Paul. And in that realm, we knew enough, or the believers that were there knew enough and rejoiced enough to know that this end time prophet would have to come and be built on and preach on the same thing that Paul taught. That all the believers shouted with one accord, we're resting on that. Now, if I would say that if in that realm, which I believe to be that whole conversation, there wasn't anything false about it. Every bit of it was perfect in the presence of God. Amen. That if that could be that way there, then I believe here, while we're still here, that we can say we're resting on the fact that he has taught and preached and exactly the same thing Paul did. Because you see, if he didn't, it'd be a different foundation. And then we'd be lost. See what I'm saying? It's very simple. So people can say whatever they want to about Paul. Oh, he's a woman hater, whatever. That's okay. I'll take my chances. Which there is no chances. It's a sure thing. But that's the foundation. And so we understand that we want to build on that foundation. And I say this because we're people watchers, okay? I hope that's okay that you know that I watch you. Right? You know, we do. We're fruit inspectors and all that. And you see, I want you on a foundation that's solid. That's why, Brother Daniel, that's why we preach what we do. We are sold out to this truth. We know this is the only true foundation that you can go the full length of your life and rejoice at the end of your days with this gospel foundation. And so we want you, but I'm a people watcher, and I see things, not just you, I'm all peoples, and you know, you watch them and you're like, man, this trial came along in their life, and the way they're acting, they act like they don't have a foundation. And so I want to share these things with you and preach, teach, treach, whatever you call it, to cause you to stop and think about your own walk and say, you know, hey, in my walk, am I on that foundation? Am I really got my faith in this thing that God has done in this word? Because that's the only place you'll be able to stand strong. It's there. And these things would come through life. And so we understand that if you don't have a good foundation, then I don't care what you put on top of it. You can spend millions of dollars, put gold, doors, whatever it is on top. If that foundation crumbles, the whole thing is gone. So you have to realize here that no matter what happened in all the seven church ages, all that would not be any good if it wasn't on that foundation that Paul had laid. Right? That's why that Paul was such a special person. I mean, all of God's people are special, but you realize that he had a very special that, could you imagine God saying, hey, you know, I want you to go and find my bride. Go preach. Go out there and find that Gentile wife for me. Just kind of like Brother Brandon, go get that wife. Yeah. Right? Amen. And so, we know that you have to have a good foundation, and so don't skimp. Don't skimp on the foundation. Make sure it's right.
Yeah.
And so, my foundation's got four pieces of rebar through it, all the way around, because I didn't want to skimp. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you the same thing. Make sure that you got plenty of Paul's rebar right in your foundation. You know, the scriptures, we talk about how that in the scriptures it says that the beast descends out of the bottomless pit. You hear me say this over the years several times, the bottomless pit. Because to build a house and it to stand, you got to have it on a foundation, on a rock. And Jesus says what happens if you build it on sand. But here's a church system, a Catholic and Protestant system inspired from of this beast that comes out of the bottomless pit. Bottomless pit. It don't even have sand. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is to try and adopt into our beliefs Catholic or Protestant traditions. And that's how bad it is, because they're inspired from something that comes from a bottomless pit. And then you think about that, falling into a pit and it never, ever hit bottom. And so that tells you that from that, the inspiration from that system that come up and caused that harlot, that whore system and harlot daughters, the inspiration that comes from that, you will never find a foundation in it. What is it? Do you understand? You'll never be able to draw from their traditions and their teachings that's contrary to the word. You'll never be able to draw from that and stand in this life. When trials come, you're going to fail, you're going to fall, and at the end of your days. Right? So that's just how important. And you know, we have Bibles and then they have an amplified Bible. Well, let me be an amplified preacher tonight to tell you, we've got to stay away from those things that comes from that inspiration. God has sent a move in our day to straighten those things out so we know. And so, but what I want to encourage each of you to daily ask yourself, hey, I've got a trial going on right now, and I have these emotions going through me right now, and are these emotions, do they agree with the word? Because you understand that the test of this hour will be a test to the very thing God has given us to overcome in this hour. That's what the test is, right? And so, you know, if a brother here lifts weights, 50 pounds, that ain't going to test for him, right? You want to really test his strength, you got to get over 300 pounds, right? That'll get you somewhere. And so you understand, God, we're not going to get anywhere in this day if these trials don't come and test the very thing that God has brought to us for us to stand on as a foundation. Not stuff from way, way back then, but all of that brought forth into a present day reality. Amen. That's what we're tested by. That's what it's going to come to. And so, like I said, that those other things, they come from a bottomless pit, so you can, no matter how long you would attend and feed on those other things, there's no foundation there.
Right.
Amen. You can never find anything there. And so, we know in the Bible, rock is revelation. We've heard this for years and years. Not just the Word of God, but when God drops a revelation into your heart about that Word, that becomes a rock. Let me say it this way. That becomes something that you can build with. And it's interesting to me, we're referred to as lively stones, stones. God's building His house, and we're all stones, and we're all, you know, hewed out by His own special way, and we all fit one to another, and it's all tight by the pyramid. Right? It's all tied to the pyramid. All those stones and everything just fit all together because that's the bride. Right? And so, a revelation is something solid. It's something you can build with. It's something that won't move in the times of storm, in the times of the things that come our way. And so you understand that if we build our Christian experience on anything other than God's Word, if we build it upon things from that bottomless pit, inspiration that comes through those systems that are inspired from that. Or if we try to build our Christian experiences built upon emotions, built upon how you feel. How many times have you heard Brother Ramos say that Jesus didn't say, "Did you feel it?" Jesus said, "Do you believe it?"
Right?
And so we've been brought to a very peculiar time now where God has allowed religious people to rise on the scene, and they have gifted ministries, and they can pray and get results, but they themselves are off the Word, and they're leading people off the Word. And God has allowed that to come because we must, in this hour, we must be able to discern the two spirits in the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand that Antichrist spirit. Judas cast out devils too. See? And God has allowed this to come before us in this age. And this is what we are tested with this to come to the place where we understand that not everything that calls itself righteous is righteous.
Right?
Right? Jesus saying here that many will say, "I've done all these things." And he goes right into this, "Hey, you got to build upon the rock." Right? So you understand that no matter if these people can have signs, have ministries and great powerful things going on in their ministry, and even healings and so forth, that somewhere they're off the Word. Right? And so you can build with a rock, a revelation. And so if we build our Christian experience off of something other than the Word of God, in other words, when you go through the trials, don't go with your emotions. Don't take off and start to react frantically, because that's what it'll be. But to pull yourself over and say, "What have I been told? What have I been taught? What's the Word? What has God dropped into my heart? Then I'm going to stand on that and let this..." Because you know that whatever that is that's got you all shook up, that'll pass away if you'll just stay right there on that rock.
Amen.
It will have to leave at some point. Some storms are very short. Some of them last a long time. But as long as you're on that rock, you don't have to worry about it. So we can't build our Christian experience on anything else than the Word of God, because if we do, it crumbles. And let me say it this way. On anything other than the revelation that God drops in our heart of this Word. Amen. That's why he said that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Once God does that to you, do you know that he's on that sacred ground, he's revealed something to you out of his Word, you never question that again. You know, brother, sister, you know you got something you can take to the bank. And your whole life is like that. One revelation after another, after another, after another. What's God doing? He's building a foundation in your life that you can stand on. But it seems, you know, it's so sad to see some people who look strong and they act strong, but when a trial comes in their life, they fall. Some of them totally, completely fall away, or they get all shaky and they start making doing things and responding in such a way that you realize their faith's really not there. And it's sad. Okay? And I say that because we all have to face that, right? We're all deal with those things. But the whole thing is that as these days that we see coming and all that's around us like that something, and God wants our experience to be so rooted and founded on what He's given today. You have to understand, He's God. He knows what He's doing, and He has so wonderfully poured out the very revelations we need for this hour. And we got people that don't even want to look at it. They won't listen to it. They won't study it. They won't pay attention to church. They won't get plenty of rest the night before so they can stay awake in church. That's right. It's not just this church. It happens everywhere. You talk to any, it's the same everywhere. That you got people that are on fire and they want it. And you got some that go, well, I can take it or leave it. And it's sad. Because this is the very foundation that God has given in this day for us to live by. And so, it's sad to see that. And so, they do that because they're looking at emotions or the way they feel, and they're not standing on the rock, not standing on the revelation. So like I said Sunday, the only way you can navigate this age is with the vindicated word of this age. Right? Vindicated meaning what God has brought to pass. He proves and vindicates His word by bringing it to pass. We've heard that over and over and over. And so let me say this. You don't have to vindicate it. God's already done it. God has already vindicated His word for this hour for us to stand on. He's already vindicated and showed it was right. Had His supernatural hand all over it. So it's up to us to stand on it. Right? That's not to say that God won't do miraculous things. We believe that, right? We want that. But you understand, He has done it. And so it's our job to stand upon that foundation, stand on that rock. And so you can't navigate this age. You can't make it through, like I said Sunday, without light to guide you. Same thing. You can't make it through this age standing on something other than the revealed word for this hour that God is, which is a culmination of the entire Bible brought forth now. Amen. So this last age, you know, is a Pentecostal age, and you know that people live so much for feelings, so much for a good time. They work all week long, so they're looking forward to Friday night or Saturday night, and they're just looking for a good time. Oh, we're going to get together, and we're going to have a good time. And ain't nothing wrong with people getting together and having, you know, but you know, they have their ways, and even we as Christians, we get together. But you understand that in this age, being a Pentecostal age, being the sensations and all the things that go with that, we basically have got an age where that's it. If it feels good, do it. If you have a desire for it, go get it. And so that's the way it is. And so now, as a preacher or as a motivational speaker or whatever, if you can through whatever it is you're doing, if you can swing people, if you can get them into an emotional swing, you got them. Yeah, if you can somehow just, you know, tell a story or whatever, and you can get them emotional, you've got them. You hooked them, right? Same way with preachers. That's, they do it all the time in all over the world. They have a way of speaking to people's emotions. The whole world's living off of following emotions. Where's the rock? They're not built on a foundation that can stand. Right? And so, millions fall for it. And, you know, it's like right now, even you got a political movement now trying to convince people who needs to be president. And they've come up with their new idea that, we're going to restore the joy. That means heard that. We're going to restore. We're going to, because they know that they've created a system of people aren't happy. Right? And so, we're going to restore the joy since this other guy has not done a good job or whatever. We're going to restore the joy. And everybody's just, joy. And somebody's wrote in and said, joy don't pay my bills. Right? Well, I got news for you, and that's true. The joy of the Lord might. Right? But what I'm getting at is now even in politics, they don't have much to offer, and so they're going to swing out and see if they can grab a whole bunch of votes by appealing to the emotions of people. We'll bring happy times again. We'll bring joy again. If you live a life that's just seeking after joy, it's not going to pan out very well. This is where Pentecost failed. Pentecost, chasing after all the gifts and the spirit of those things, which are genuine gifts of God that had been given. And they thought, Pentecost thought, that the restoration of the gifts and tongues and prophecies and those things that unfolded there in Azusa Street 1906 and thereafter, they thought that that was the thing. That was the full shebang. And it wasn't. They thought that was the latter rain. And it wasn't. The latter rain, you know what the latter rain, when it unfolds, you know what it culminates with? The rapture. The body change. And the latter rain could not come until the former rain. And so they thought that that was the latter rain movement. But the prophet messenger who was going to bring the teaching rain, the former rain is the teaching rain. That prophet messenger hadn't come yet. So it couldn't be the latter rain because that hadn't happened. And so it would take that prophet messenger to bring a teaching rain to get the things established, get the seeds established. That's an early on rain. And then the latter rain is the harvest rain. It's the rain to bring on the full fruit. Right? And full fruit. And so this is what your prophet taught us. So, but the Pentecostals, they went off and all into the emotions and like that was all it was. And yet, when they were given opportunity to the real former rain, the teaching rain, they rejected it. Amen? And so they made their movement the evidence. Their speaking in tongues as the evidence. And they put God into a box because they come along and they said, everybody's got to do this, and if you don't do this, then you're not real. That's what they said. I was raised up in that. I had those conversations thrown at me. And so, putting emotions ahead of the word. And yet it was a real move of God. Right? It was a real move of God to restore those gifts back into the church. But they denominated. They swung it over into man's leadership. And so what we've got today is we've got people who are seekers of blessings. More, and I hope you catch what I'm saying with this. You have people who are seeking blessings more than the commitment that must be there to hold those blessings in check. That makes sense? God has a real supernatural thing to unfold. But he wants to make sure that you have that foundation there. Because if you have the foundation of the word, then when the emotions come, they're in check. Then when trials come, you might rejoice, you might cry, you might whatever. But so you might have gifts of the Spirit, tongues, prophecy, interpret, but you won't get away from the Word because you're on the foundation. So it's not saying that, well, if you got to be on the foundation, you can't have a supernatural thing going on in your church. No, that is supernatural. But God has brought us to the place where emotions won't cut it. What it takes is the foundation built on that foundation, and then while on that foundation, then the move of the Spirit and the gifts and the things like that will always be in check. So, It's like what they're chasing after, all the feel good and, oh, you know, we had such a good service, the preacher didn't even get to preach. How many's ever heard that? I have. I've been in services where that, see, oh, we had such a good time without the teaching rain. They want the latter rain. They want all that without that word, that foundation of the word. And so it's like fornication. Because, let me just give you the parallel of what I'm thinking on this is, you know, for a man and a woman to meet and fall in love and they can have a wonderful life and a wonderful experience. But if they do that without the commitment of marriage, it's fornication. And if these modern people, and even in the message, if all they want is to feel good, but they've never come to the commitment of the word, it's like fornication. See? We have to be built on the foundation of the word. And so no matter what happens, this is what we stay with. Amen. So look, they look for signs and wonders, and they make that the litmus test. But as the prophet said, when you bring them to the place where you hold them down to the word, and they will say, well, we get results, don't we? So it must be of God. Not taking the foundation that says that you can even cast out devils by the Spirit of God and it not be, and be lost. Right? See? So they take it, oh yeah, it must be we had such wonderful services. And I had a guy tell me once, said, don't tell me that women aren't supposed to preach, because this woman preaches better than any man I've ever heard. Right? Is he going with the word or is he going with sensation? See what I mean? We don't want to be found doing that. Amen? And I've even heard inside the ranks of the message, oh yeah, so-and-so got the Holy Ghost last night. How do you know? Well, they spoke in tongues. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, one of the mysteries of the age, is to have baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Right? God can move into your life and give you that birth, that change, and not even have a sensation. Right? Amen. We want signs and wonders, but we want them to follow the word, as the scripture says. And so, we know that God is moving a people over onto this true foundation, that as the world falls apart, we won't. Amen. God has promised, He promised in this hour that He will shake heavens and earth, so that the only thing that is left remains is that which cannot be shaken. Emotions can be shaken. It's not to say we won't have emotions. We will. I believe Jesus was emotional when He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That was emotional. But it wasn't off the word. It was with the word. Amen. Hebrews, I didn't give this to her, but I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. See then that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. You know, for a sinner, God is a consuming fire, that's a scary thing. But as a believer, you can say, you know what, He's my Father. And if there's something wrong in me, He'll burn it out of me. He'll get that out of me. Amen? And change. God will give you, if you have the right desires, he'll give you those desires. If you have bad desires, you'll get those too. But he'll provide those things because he's promised to. Amen. He's a consuming fire. And if you want a closer walk with him, if you really want it, you're going to get it. But if you act like you want it, you don't really, well, then you probably won't get it. Amen. The day we seek him with all of our heart, that's the day we find him. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Serving God placed upon a foundation that cannot be moved. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless each one of you tonight. Not too late. And you love the Lord.
Amen.
We're trying not to be too long on Wednesday nights because I know people get up and go to work and different things. Amen. But you've been good. You've been good listeners to me. Let's just bow our hearts and pray just for a moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for the words of eternal life. Lord, in this day that you didn't leave us here without truth, you brought truth to us. God, that we could build upon a foundation that would stand sure. I pray, Lord, that you, as the days unfold, that you help each one of us understand more clearly how to build on that foundation, how to stand there, what that is, what that foundation is. Lord, that we'll be a people that's pleasing to you. That you'll be able to look and say, that's my son. That's the one that's just like me. I pray, God, that you just continue to move with your word in the hearts and lives of your children. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Oh,